Such a wonderful feeling to be the wolf in the jungle. The power of the she-wolf soaring through you. Feel the flesh. His howl echoing on the wind when the she-wolf is born.
Man, welcome to another Reverse Speech Show. This is your host, David John Oates. We are broadcasting to you live out of Adelaide, South Australia. And in this show, we explore the amazing world of reverse speech. We look at the depths of the unconscious mind. We examine the worlds of the unknown, as well as have our many guests and allow you to call in and express your opinions and viewpoints on the topics being discussed. Sit back and relax as the world of the unconscious now opens before you. And hello everyone, this is David John Oates. You are listening to another Reverse Speech Show, broadcast to you as always from my studios here in Adelaide, South Australia. And we have a great show lined up for you tonight. We have Greg Albrecht in studio. We'll be introducing him in a second when we come out of our music break. We also have a pre-recorded interview with a chap named John Rigney, called Ringo for short. He's an Aboriginal musician. And we had a great chat with him this week. And we'll be playing that for you in the second hour. Greg's going to be in with me the whole time for all the 4 hours. We're going to spend the first hour on Simone and Simone's recovery. And if you haven't caught up with that news, then we will fill you in on that when we come back for the break. But as always, we're going to begin our song with a song. And we'll just have some nice peaceful music in theme with Simone's recovery. So here we go. We'll be back right after this. And there we go. That was Enigma. The little piece was called Shadows in Silence. I like that piece. Seems to be nice appropriate music for the segment we have for the first hour. Anyway, let's bring Greg Albrecht to the board. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
Nice to have you here.
Always a pleasure to be here, David.
Yeah, Greg's been staying with me for the last two or three days. Driven down from Berry. Greg's a school teacher up there. And you're on school holidays now, Greg, eh?
Certainly am, although my last day is tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to going back to the kids.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, Greg's an Aboriginal liaison teacher up there in the Riverland. And you have some great reversals for us tonight. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be bringing in your segment.
Yes, about 2 years ago, 2002, I was privileged to make friends. Well, I've known this guy for about probably 10 years now, Michael Lacey. A very switched on and intelligent guy when it comes to the Beatles. He's a Beatles collector. He's got an amazing collection of Beatles music, interviews, outtakes and whatever. Anyway, he and I touched base and we've become very, very good friends. And he allowed me access to his collection and from exploring a lot of these tapes, I've been able to collect about 100 reversals from Beatles outtakes, Beatles interviews across the board, and I've probably got about 20 more hours to listen to, and I'll go back to that in the Christmas holidays. But I brought these down because you know, they're very interesting. They're not just interesting as far as the reversals are concerned.
Oh yeah, but the forwards alone is fascinating.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been listening to some of these as we've gotten ready for the show, and some of the forward sections are really quite awesome to listen to. Old Beatles stuff and old Beatles interviews and jam sessions and and some of your reversals are pretty amazingly clear as well. So
yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, so we'll be getting to them in the second hour. No, in the third hour, sorry.
Yeah.
You're on for the last 2 hours. But for this segment now, we're going to be talking a little bit about Simone. Now, Simone is my daughter, twin sister of Jay, and Simone was the firstborn. Actually, she turned 18 on the 7th of July, 1987. And for those who haven't caught up with the news, Simone suffered a devastating accident on June the 24th. She fell 70 feet from the very top floor of Marion Shopping Centre. Marion Shopping Centre was a large shopping centre here in Adelaide. And she actually jumped up on the escalator, the banister of the escalator. She was sitting on there, and she lost her balance and fell over backwards and fell 70 feet all the way to the ground. It's a miracle she wasn't killed just with the fall alone. And fortunately, there was an ambulance on scene, actually at the shopping centre at the time, and the ambulance got to her within 2 minutes of her fall. And she was in hospital within 15 minutes of falling.
That's a miracle in itself, too. That's providential.
Yeah, had that not happened, she would have certainly died. She suffered a massive brain injury. The doctors had to operate immediately. Her brain pressure was so high, because the brain, when you suffer a brain injury, it swells dramatically, and the brain just swelled right up. And the doctor said if they didn't operate immediately, she'd be dead within 15 minutes. I mean, I just cannot tell you how I felt. I was at the hospital at the same time the ambulance arrived, because her friend who was with her at the time rang home immediately. This was 3 o'clock in the morning, and Jay and I hopped in the car and drove straight down to the hospital, which is only 15 minutes away. So we were there around about the same time the ambulance arrived, and I just can't tell you how that felt. I just don't have the words to describe the feelings that we had. And then when the doctor told me she only had a 50% chance of surviving the surgery, I've never had a feeling like that in my life. It was, So they removed a huge blood clot from her brain in the right side. That's the right hemisphere. That's where the impact itself actually occurred. They removed a huge blood clot and cut out a large portion of her skull, a saucer-sized shape. I mean, I thought they were just going to drill a little hole, but they took...
It was pretty big.
It's a pretty big size portion of her skull they took out. That saved her life and got her out of immediate physical danger. Then she was in a coma for 2 weeks, and the worst 2 weeks of my life, I tell you. The doctors did not give her brain much chance of surviving. They said she had a severe brain injury. It was highly likely she'd be paralyzed on the left-hand side. They even said she may be brain dead, and she may not survive still. So I was just on tenderhooks for the 2 weeks. We went down to the hospital every day. We were praying constantly. We put a website up for her, and the URL is linked on the davidoates.com site, but it's simonerecovery.org, spelled S-Y-M-O-N-E, recovery, R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y.org. And I put the website up for several reasons. I think the primary reason was I wanted to get the word out there, because I knew that the more people who knew, and the more people around the world who would focused positive energy on Simone, the better chance she had of surviving. And the outpouring of support that we received was just stunning, absolutely stunning. We had hundreds of emails within 2 or 3 days of the website going up. I mean, hundreds of them. Some of them uploaded on the website. You can go and click on the link, emails, and have a look at the link there and see some of the emails that she's received. Just amazing emails of support and well wishes. Of course, her tragedy, her accident was listed on the Rents.com website. Jeff Rents, of course, a long time friend. I've been a guest on his show for many, many years now, and Jeff was just wonderful in his support. So that all helped dramatically. For the first few days, she was in a coma. There was no movement from her really at all, so we had no idea what was going on. Jeff enlisted the help of an amazing young man by the name of Adam. Now, Adam is... how can you describe Adam? I was going to say faith healer or remote healer. That really doesn't describe him. He is an incredible young man who's rumored to be another Edgar Cayce and beyond. And he has the psychic ability to look inside the physical body and see what damage has been done, and to also instigate healing. And he started working on Simone immediately. His first report was not good. He did not see much activity going on inside her mind at all, and that was very discouraging. But he began working on her immediately, and we started to see signs of improvement. When she woke up 2 weeks later. That was just her awakening alone was just an amazing ordeal. That's the two contradictory words, an amazing ordeal. It was an amazing experience to watch her slowly wake up. First of all, her right arm started to move. She was very limp and no movement on the left-hand side. Her left arm was not moving. She had a lot of strength in her right hand, and her left arm was just limp. So it looks like some of the initial fears the doctors had she'd be paralyzed on the left-hand side may have been accurate. So that really scared us a lot. You can read all this on the update section of the website, by the way, folks. On SimoneRecovery.org website, you can see all the daily updates. I think the site went up on the 3rd of July, and I reported 2 or 3 times a day, and you can see how she gradually woke up, and the things that I said to her as she woke up.
24,000 hits on that too.
Oh, 25,000 as
25,000,
of this morning.
25,000, yeah.
As of this morning.
That's fabulous.
That's just amazing. Yeah, so many people all around the world just pulling for Simone. Gee, I don't know where to go from here. Her recovery has been amazing, folks. Let me just tell you, her recovery has been just... It's a miracle. It's the only word I can describe. In the 2 weeks that she has woken up, 2 weeks, mind you, now she's suffered a severe brain injury. Sometimes it takes people 6 months of brain injury even to make eye contact. In the 2 weeks that she's woken up, she has full use of all her left-hand side. All her limbs are working. They're all moving. She started making eye contact almost immediately from the moment she woke up. For 2 days, she wouldn't take her eyes off of me. I was the only one she'd look at. It doesn't matter who was in the room. She just fixated on me. I'd walk around and her eyes would follow me around. We had signs that she was cognitive pretty well immediately. We had some pictures of her friends on the wall, and we pointed, and I asked her if she could see her friends, and she pointed to her friends, very weakly, very shaky movements, pointing to her friends. We were communicating with her initially through eye blinks. She didn't blink much, but occasionally she'd give a good solid blink, and so we could tell that she was there, and she just gradually started to wake up, day by day. She woke up more and more and more. She initially had a look of great terror in her face. Terror would come and go constantly. It was a real horrible thing to see. That's gone now, because this is 2 weeks later. Actually, that started to go about two days ago. And she slowly began to talk, just a word here and there. And, you know, when we went down there yesterday... I mean, she was just chatting away, wasn't she, Greg?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was... To see... I saw her 2 weeks ago when I came down here, and just the improvement. Before, you know, she was with the tubes and stuff, not moving and whatever, and just to see the improvement, and moving and talking, and remarkable. Remarkable.
I just don't have the words to describe it. Yeah. It's look, it's a miracle. It's the only words I've got to describe is a miracle. Mm. And she's just getting better daily. She's making huge steps every... I mean, 2 days ago, she was extremely fidgety, very anxious, constantly moving around, biting anything she can get her hands on, ripping sheets off, ripping her clothes off. I mean, she pulled the catheter out of her body. Can you imagine how painful that would be? She pulled a bloody catheter out. I mean, those things are held in there with a balloon, you know.
Must have been pretty annoying then.
Oh, yeah. Well, she...
To do that.
She ripped all the tubes out. Yeah. I mean, she was quite aggressive. She bit some people's fingers quite hard. But yesterday, she was as calm as calm.
Yeah.
I mean, she calmed down the day before, but yesterday she was just really, really calm. And we took her for a walk outside by the pond, didn't we, Greg?
That was beautiful. And the ducks, actually some of those ducks looked like they were showing off, didn't they?
They did look like they were showing off.
Flying and doing little swoops and...
Doing a little performance just for Simone.
In front of Simone. It was beautiful.
And she really lit up outside, didn't she?
Colour changed, complexion.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, she was on the brink of death 4 weeks ago. Mm. She was literally on the brink of death. She was in the shadow world in between life and death. And I remember when I first saw her before she went in for the surgery. I mean, she looked like she was dead. That's how she looked. Mm. And... I mean, and I kept on thinking, God, I've lost one son. I can't lose another child. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought she was going to die. But anyway, she's come through just remarkably well. I just cannot explain the miracle that has happened to her. Now, why that miracle's occurred is anyone's guess, really. It's anyone's guess. I think a lot of the work from Adam, this healer, and he's got a special page on the SimoneRecovery.org website. If you just click on the healing, you can see, read all about Adam and a lot of the email exchanges that have gone backwards and forwards. they're pretty remarkable stuff. Of course, there's literally tens of thousands of people all over the world praying for Simone. I mean, I've got emails from Ireland and South America and Europe and all saying the whole church is praying for him, and she's on these prayer lists that go out to thousands of people.
She responded to that really nicely and very positively either yesterday or the day before when you said that there are a lot of people praying for her.
Yeah, she said, really?
She said, really? That's yeah, what it was.
Yeah, in really. A really questioning tone. Really? Just like that.
But
know?
It was a pleased, really.
Oh, I was a very pleased, yeah. Yeah, so that's made a big difference. I think the meta walk that I've done have made a difference. And actually, on this note, folks, I'm going to play the meta walk on the show. I designed up a special meta walk for Simone. Someone's asked me in the chat room, how is the other twin, David? Jay, well, she was very devastated by all of this initially. And she couldn't go in to see Simone. It upset her so much just to see her. But Jay had a wonderful little gift given to her by Simone a couple of days ago. Beautiful gift. Jay wondered whether Simone even knew her, and she was so distraught because she thought Simone didn't know her. And we went in there. You were with us. We went in there, two nights ago?
Yep, that was beautiful.
And she said to Simone, do you know who I am? And she said it two or three times. Simone didn't answer at first.
Sure. Yep.
But then finally she said, Jay. And it wasn't in a whisper. It was in a...
It
was like, Jay. And Jay just got tears in her eyes. And then a little while later, Jay said, I love you so much, Simone. And Simone said, I love you too. I love you too. And just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. I've never been so moved in all my life as I have been in the last week. Just in the last week to see her coming back, you know. Just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. I wrote a meta walk for Simone. Simone's been getting a lot of sound therapy. We bought a sound therapy kit when she first went into hospital. Been listening to a lot of music, classical music and healing music. That's made a big difference. And I made a meta walk up for Simone, which I played to her last week. And the purpose of the meta walk was to allow the brain to begin to heal. And I put it to the background of some music. And I'm going to play that meta walk for you now, folks. Now, the meta walk was subliminally embedded, but I'm going to play the... a subliminal at a fairly normal volume, so you can hear what the meta walk was all about. So we're going to start off with some of the background music to the meta walk, and then I'm going to play the meta walk itself. Now, I've got the volume up. Bearing in mind, when Simone listened to this, it was at subliminal level, just slightly above the level of conscious awareness, but the volume's turned up. So here we go. Listen to the meta walk I wrote for Simone, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So let's just get this all ready to play, and here's the background music, and then we'll play the meta walk itself. Hi Simone, this is Daddy speaking. We're going to go on a little journey. It's a nice, quiet, peaceful journey inside your mind. And in this journey, we're going to begin to heal your mind, to enable you to become peaceful and calm, and to begin to rebuild and make parts of your mind stronger. And all I want you to do is just to relax, listen to the music, just allow the sound of my voice to speak to your deep inner self, part of the mind where metaphors are formed, personality and behavior begins. And to begin this journey today, I want you to imagine in your mind the scene of a nice, beautiful garden. Lovely green rolling plains, trees and flowers.
Won't you imagine you could see a little lamb? Just a nice young lamb. That's just eating the grass. And just gently grazing by the lake that's being fed by the waterfall.
That's the metal walk I did. Have you heard that before?
No, that I think all of the listeners will agree with this. That was sacred and beautiful.
Yeah, it was an amazing metal work, wasn't it?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it took me several days before I could do it. I had to get in the right frame of mind to do it, you know. Yeah. And but finally, one night I was in the... We got some good news about Simone. I can't remember what it was now, but anyway.
Yeah.
Got some good news and I was in the right frame. And I used several reverse speech metaphors in the metal work. Obviously, the house and the girl is a classic metaphorical image. The house is the human mind. That's literally a metaphor for the mind. And the elves are the electrical impulses or the neural receptors in the mind. So the elves building the house is her mind beginning to repair itself. And, you know, it was all in hypnotic language, as you could tell. Mm. And I reinforced it. And as the elves built the house, then so too does your mind begin to heal. And the waterfall and the lake. The lake is the emotional state. The waterfall is the heart. So nice, calm, and the lake was calm and peaceful. The waterfall was gently trickling. And so that was to create the calm, emotionally stable atmosphere. And the lamb, classic reverse speech metaphor for the seed of life, new beginnings, and new start. And so that's why I use the metaphors that I used. Yeah. And I don't want to discount from the work of Adam or anyone like that, but I tell you, the day after I played at that meta walk is when we started to see some very dramatic improvement inside of her. And
very significant that her father is speaking it too.
Yeah.
Very, very significant.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's not just the metal walk, it's the work of Adam, it's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, thousands and thousands of people praying for her, and, you know, you can't have that type of group effort and not see a change.
We're seeing it day by day.
Hour by hour, almost.
Hour by hour, day by day.
I mean, it's remarkably rapid. I'm just, my breath is just taken away by how rapid she has come around. Just amazing stuff. Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I gotta tell you, if I ever find that doctor again who told me that she's gonna be like this for the rest of her life, oh mate. We went in there one day, and this is right before she was just waking up, and she didn't have use of her left-hand side, and her movement in her right arm was very primitive, is how I can explain it. She was twisting and contorting, and, you know, just really primitive type movements. And one of the doctors told me she may be like this for the rest of her life, and my legs just collapsed. You know how the pupils collapsed? Yeah. Literally, my legs just collapsed, and I had to grab a seat. And
what happened to that doctor?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Just disappeared.
She was wrong. God, was she ever wrong.
I was a female. I thought it was a male.
Yeah, it was a female. It was a female doctor. Yeah. God, was she ever wrong. So, you know, all I can say is doctors have no bloody idea, mate.
Mm.
They just have no idea when it comes to the human mind. And every brain injury is different, of course, you know. Now, Simone still has a long way to go before she's back to her old self again, but I believe she'll get there, you know. The next step is to learn how to walk again and use the toilet. And
she said, "I love you, Dad," the other day to you.
I know she did.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I love you, Dad. Yeah. I've had a few little hugs and stuff,
yeah.
You know. So they'll be getting her out of hospital into rehab center as soon as they possibly can. Adelaide's got one of the best brain injury rehab centers in the world in Hampstead Gardens. It's renowned as being one of the best in the world. So we've heard some glowing reports about this brain rehab center, so that's the one she'll be going to. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I think, you know, they'll get her out there pretty fast. And then the intense rehab work begins, where they teach her how to walk again. And
that doctor, was it yesterday, said about the 3 months. Remember that?
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Significant. I'll sort of throw that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, we spoke to one of the doctors when we were in there, not yesterday. Was it yesterday?
No, I think it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. One of the doctors who'd been with her since the very beginning. And he just said her recovery is just amazing. Just amazing recovery. And he said he wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see her walking back into the hospital on her own two feet in 3 months from now. And I tend to think he's right. But they were scared about deep brain damage in the hypothalamus initially, and all those fears have gone now. You know, 2 weeks since she's woken up. 2 weeks. I cannot believe how well she's done. It's let me have a couple of good night's sleep. Yeah, horrible thing, brain injury. So, you know, it's just miracles all the way around. Miracles that she survived the first fall, initial impact. I mean, 70 feet, that's a long way.
Huge.
Yeah, someone researched it on the internet, and a 70-foot fall, and apparently a 70-foot fall, you hit the ground at 45 miles an hour. Mm. I mean, that's massive. And you'd normally rupture some organs and some lungs, brain injury. No broken bones this girl got, except for a crushed vertebrae in the back, which is healing, lumbar number one, which is healing always.
And just the position that she fell too.
Yeah.
That was very significant, wasn't it?
Yeah, no broken bones, no ruptured organs. Just stunning stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, Greg, I've got to tell you this. It's rejuvenated my faith in God. Mm. Tremendously much so. I mean that very sincerely. I can't explain some of the spiritual feelings I felt in the last few days. And, you know, when it first happened, I was praying for God to heal her, and I didn't know how to pray. And I said to God, "Bet, I don't know what to pray." And do you know what came to my mind?
What?
The Lord's Prayer.
Excellent.
Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. So I've been saying that over and over in my mind. Several times a day, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." And I've been saying that over and over in my head the last 4 weeks. Don't know what else to say, you know. Maybe I could say Hail Mary, full of grace, but I'm not a Roman Catholic. I'm sure God will forgive me for not being a Roman Catholic. So, someone said in the chat room, "So the hypothalamus is fully recovered?" Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is. There's no damage there at all that the doctor can see now. They also told me at the night of the impact that part of her brain had died. Well, later scans show that that's not dead at all. So,
one hurdle after another, eliminated.
I know. Huh. I know, yeah. So, it's just a miracle. I just have no other words for it. It's just a miracle. So, anyway, let's go to a break. Let's play a song, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Simone. And then we'll go to our guest at the top of the hour, John Rigney. Go to his website, Kinnaman Karma, www.kinnemankarma.com. And you can get a bit of insight into our guest. He's an Aboriginal musician. And we'll talk a little bit more about him when we come back. Don't touch that keyboard, folks. We'll be back right after this. This is David John Oates. You are listening to the Monthly Reverse Beat Show, as always, live out of Adelaide, South Australia. Do you like that piece, Greg?
That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, someone asked me who's that's from, and I don't know. It was on my computer. I just found it when I was preparing the songs we're going to play in the show this evening, and it's called Marayeva, M-A-R-A-Y-E-V-A. So I don't know who puts it together, but it's a nice little piece, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so there we go. Tell me about our guest who's coming up, John Rigney. He's a good friend of yours, Greg.
Yes, good friend. He's a musician with a lot of experience, and he has got a band. He's formed a band called Kinnaman Karma.
Uh-huh.
Kinnaman's Nurrunjeri Aboriginal for brown or black, black karma.
Right.
And they're getting a bit of a following in Adelaide, a lot of interest. They've had quite a few gigs, and if there's any listeners in Adelaide that are listening to the program, you should be able to see them advertised in the paper.
Hmm.
I went to one of their gigs at the Governor Hotel. It was excellent, absolutely brilliant. They're a reggae band, they use a lot of their own material.
Right.
Yeah.
And John Rigney is an interesting mix between Aboriginal and Italian. His father was Italian, mother was Aboriginal.
Yes, I know his mother too. Lovely lady. He's pretty switched on with his Aboriginality and...
He certainly seems to be.
Nice bloke.
Yeah, now we have lots of reversals for that you have found that we're going to be playing, and as the show goes on, and I thought we might play one of them now, and that was the because it seems appropriate for this segment.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yes, My Sweet Lord. Why don't you introduce this for us?
Yes, this is from a late version of My Sweet Lord that George Harrison did before he died. I personally think that it's better than the original. And there's a really, really positive reversal on this one.
All right, so let's run it forwards first, shall we? Here we go with the forwards. Okay, so there we go. That's this is the version he did just before he died, correct?
That's correct.
Now, your reversals are normally three, but there's no three on here.
That's number two.
That's number two. All right, yep. So we're going to run them backwards, and why don't you tell everyone what they're going to be hearing?
Rama healer, I'm a healer, 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 our chief, our chief, our chief healer, our chief healer. Rama being a Hindu god.
Well, Rama's actually a reverse speech metaphor, actually, and it doesn't come up all that often, but it does come up occasionally. And according to the reverse speech dictionary, which is not always accurate, here, there, that's a confession from David John Oates on the air. The reverse speech dictionary is a guide only, is what I teach my students. According to Reverse Speech Metaphor Dictionary, Rama is a metaphor for the keeper of the collective unconscious. He holds the keys to the wisdom of the ages. So
very interesting.
Yeah, it is. So Rama healer, healer Rama, our chief healer.
Yep.
Right? Okay, here we go. All right, why don't we just play that a little bit slower for everyone. And I'm accessing the Marvelous Speed Control on the Reverse Speech software. And we'll run it again.
Healer, healer.
Beautiful.
My chief healer. Oh yeah, there's my chief healer. Chief healer. Hang on, I just want to play it beginning again and hear the Rama healer. Yeah. Is it Rama or Rama? How is it pronounced?
Rama healer. Yeah, Rama.
Right.
And okay. I'm hearing our chief, our chief.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rama healer.
Yeah. I'm a healer.
Yeah. Yeah, got it. That's a pretty awesome reversal there, Greg.
I was rapt when I found that
you
one.
You would have been thrilled to bits, wouldn't have you?
I played it a few times.
I'm sure you did. Is it on the original version of the song, do you know? Or just on this latest version?
You can, if I remember. I did check that. It's there, but not as clear as
not
this.
Not as clear.
Yeah, you can hear elements, I think, on there. But I'm hearing too, our chief healer. You can detect it could be our chief, but it doesn't matter. Our chief. I found a song by George Harrison done live, same song, My Sweet Lord. I haven't brought it down, though. I could bring it down for another show. But he actually changes the lyrics a bit. This is forwards, nothing to do with reversed.
Okay.
And he mentions Christ. And he mentions the God as chief.
Oh,
and he
really?
Does it forwards. He does it forwards.
Oh, really?
It sort of like confirms the reversal by doing that.
You
know, not that it needs to be confirmed, because I mean that's pretty clear.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very clear. Stunningly clear. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be playing a lot of your songs in your segment of the show.
Yes.
You've got your own CD out now?
Oh, it's not professionally released. These are songs that I've recorded with Ringo. Well, with John Rigney, his nickname's Ringo.
Right.
We want to get one professionally recorded. I can get access to a recording studio through John at a very cheap price, so I'm very happy about that. And there's a song that we might play later, hopefully, Anzac in the City.
Oh, yeah, we'll be playing that in your segment.
That's
for
the
sure.
one that I want to professionally record. My two brothers sing on that one. I've got two brothers, everybody. My younger brother, Orb, actually his name's Mark, but his nickname's Orb, and my older brother, Terry, his nickname's Tex. And David knows both of those guys.
Yes, I certainly do. Now, you've had some of your songs played on local radio, though, haven't you?
Yes, Anzac in the City was played on the ABC radio in the Riverland, and that was just before Anzac Day, and on Anzac Day, actually. The song's dedicated to my father. I'm a legatee.
Yeah.
Dad died through war injury complications in 1972 at the age of 54. And he was in the 2nd 48th Battalion, which the most decorated battalion in Australia's history. They were at Tobruk, El Alamein.
Now, 1972, that's House of the Rock days, is it not?
No. That was a little bit before. House of the Rock started in 76.
Right. Greg was a member of a Christian community called House of the Rock for... How many years was that?
I was there for 8 years.
8 years, were you?
And very very much a part of that. Yeah. Major part of my life and my development of values, and they're still basically the same. I haven't changed from there.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that in your segment. Anyway, listen, we're going to go to the top of our break, folks. We're going to play you a piece called Hyperspace by Storm, and then we'll be coming back with our interview with John Rigney. Go to his website, www.kindermankarma.com. It's linked from the davidoates.com site. Don't touch that keyboard, folks. We'll be back right after this.